So last week, folks, I was doing a fantastic, I'll be honest with you, I think I allowed some topics to suffer in the name of my passion for our Afghan vets. So maybe there was a couple of topics that I could have done a better job on. I have to sit down and maybe look at myself in the face, in the mirror, have a little discussion with myself. But here's one that I think that all of us would agree on. That if there are men fighting for lack of a... I think fighting is a word that you could use for interpreters in Afghanistan who are side by side with some of our military, going into towns, helping get recon, any number of different things, including one gentleman who were apparently selling down the river. A guy who, by all reports from several military leaders, have written him glowing letters of review. One of them even saying, you know what, if this guy was a Canadian soldier, he'd be up for a couple of medals. I guarantee you he would have some medals. So, this just drives me crazy. I don't know how this could be, that if you're an interpreter in Afghanistan trying to get into Canada, you know, wouldn't you think there would be a certain thing that the military would be able to do, or we'd be able to fly these people over and fast-track them? Or do you think that they have to get in line with everybody else? Yeah, they have to get in line with everybody else. I mean, and then when they're heard, they might get some special treatment, which they should get, but they're not fast-tracked or we're not doing anything to help that process. That, to me, is a little remarkable. So one guy, bogged down in that process, decided to talk to the media. And his picture was in the paper. And in the story, talking about all the glowing recommendations that he was receiving, this gentleman then had an interview with Canadian immigration officials. And in that meeting with the Canadian immigration officials, he was asked whether or not he was worried about having his picture in the paper. And he suggested, these guys are going to kill me anyway. They already know what I look like. What does it matter if my picture's in the paper? All of these guys who want to kill me already know what I look like. So... the Einsteins at immigration deduced, well, if he's willing to have his picture in the paper, then he can't really be that concerned about his life, so we will reject him. They had one of these, a stamp. So they rejected him. Is everybody cool with that? I'm not. This guy laid his life on the line and now is going to be left behind in Afghanistan, helping us do whatever we did. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying that in that many of you aren't cool with the military effort. Some of you are full-heartedly behind it. But if we're going to be doing this and essentially giving these people false hope, you know, they didn't give him a 100% lock contract. You're as good as gold being back in Canada. But they essentially did that. They let him believe that he and his family would be allowed entrance to Canada. Not that we'll, you know, consider it when your name comes up. We're joined right now by Michael Nyron, who is an immigration lawyer, Nyron and Associates, right here in Toronto. Michael, are you familiar with any other cases like this?
There's a number of cases like this. Unfortunately, too many. This is an incentive. It was an incentive for Afghan interpreters who had 12 months of experience being an Afghan interpreter for the Canadian military, and they have to also demonstrate that they have a fear of persecution or danger, and they could apply on a fast track basis to come to Canada, and it's just not happening.
These guys wouldn't have done it. Despite the monetary benefit, they wouldn't have done it without that promise, would they?
It's hard to say on a case-by-case basis, but the carrot, the incentive to come to Canada is overwhelming for these people. It's very difficult for Afghan nationals to get visas to Canada, almost impossible. So this is, if you speak English and you can help out the military, you're going to sign up.
Yeah, and I take it, maybe you can tell us in a second if you have any kind of insight into what the military tell them, because I'm guessing they've all but promised them 100% certainty that they will be fast-tracked back to Canada. And then to be bogged down in the normal immigration process seems to be a little punitive. And on top of that, because the guy had his picture in the paper, that they deduced that he really isn't that, you know, in harm's way, because... But he says, hey, they already know what it'll look like. What difference is it going to make? Again, there's a report today in the Toronto Star that I think is a little disappointing for Canadians. Canadians who have, you know, the way we feel about the Highway of Heroes, and that was a grassroots organic movement supporting our troops. And these are people who are also supported our troops. Our guys putting themselves in harm's way, and also doing that, people who we apparently seem to be willing to leave behind. We're talking about Afghan citizens who are known to the Taliban, who are known to other Afghans who might want to score some points with a local warlord or the government once we leave, and perhaps these guys are going to be left behind and their life will be in danger. The portrait today in the National Post tells of a guy who was getting glowing reviews from Canadian military. In fact, one of them says, you know what, if this guy was a Canadian, he would be up for several medals. And we leave him behind? Doesn't make any sense. So Michael Nieren is with us. He is an immigration lawyer, Nieren and Associates here in Toronto. Have you dealt with any of these interpreters? Because apparently we are letting them in, and this is the amount of people who have helped us. Apparently, you know, in the hundreds that we've been receiving help from in Afghanistan, that we are doing this, as we say, solid for.
Yeah, we've represented Afghan nationals making refugee claims who have made their way to Canada. This program is for those who are still stuck in Afghanistan, who are working for the military and are promised, you know, if they qualify, to be processed and to come to Canada legitimately. What's really shocking about this particular case is that apparently he was approved preliminarily for a visa. And then, you know, was told later on at the very end of the process that no, in fact, here's a rejection letter, which is really shocking, because after the initial approval, applicants just have to get criminal checks and security checks and medicals, and then they're you know, so long as they pass that, they're on their way. Very, very strange how at the very end he was given the pink slip, so to speak, and not allowed to come.
Well, I should tell people that he was a little concerned, because in doing this, you get bogged down in the normal process that other immigrants might have to go through. So because it was taking so long, and, you know, the longer he felt he was over there, the longer his life might be in danger, he participated with a journalist, and there was a profile of him wanting to come to Canada. He was concerned that it was taking too long, and his picture was in the paper. So, do you think the immigration people would have been punitive in terms of taking it out on him for shedding light on the situation?
Well, it sounds like it. I mean, they explicitly said, according to the news story, that, well, if you really fear the Taliban, if you fear persecution, you wouldn't be publicizing your story in the paper. But he made it clear that, look, this is they've been after him a long time, well before this, and he had nothing to lose, and he's very desperate. And I don't think that's a ground. In fact, I know it's not a ground, just because you publicize your story, that means that you're not in fear of persecution or danger. I just think that's a stretch. And apparently, this applicant had glowing credentials, and it was very well known to a lot of people that he was a target.
Yeah. I think if you're listening right now, folks, and you think this, oh, this poor sod over in Afghanistan, them's the breaks. This is a guy who probably helped save Canadian lives. This is a guy who, along with our Canadian soldiers, might not have had a gun, but participated in helping them with recon, going around and talking to citizens, putting a human face on our Canadian troops. And we're set to leave him behind because he didn't have anything left to lose. And the Einsteins, who were trying to figure out why he was willing to be portrayed in a article, and there's a picture of him, and they're like, well, if there's a picture of you, you can't really be afraid for your safety. Well, he said, they already know what I look like. Yeah. And we're willing to forget somebody who is essentially, I think, already a Canadian. You cannot go over there and ask people to sacrifice their life and then kick them to the side. And so what I'm really angry about is that these people get bogged down in the same sort of immigration process, and we let them languish over there rather than fast-tracking them the hell out of there. If you want people to help you when you're over there in harm's way, maybe you got to do right by them. Maybe you got to do right by them. And so when I go up to some other person to ask them for some help, I'm going to be like, what, Canadians? That's not what you did to my friend. I'm not going to help you. I know what a Canadian, what the Canadian word is good for. It's worth around here. So it's disgusting, folks. You imagine it's essentially us, you know, it's a bit of an exaggeration, but us leaving one of ours behind. I mean, but it is. And this guy is going to be back there just because, you know, if everybody who knows what you look like, everybody trying to kill you already knows what you look like, it should mean, you know, jack all that your picture's in the paper. Other than there's a picture in your paper. It doesn't mean anything. Let's take one phone call, if you don't, with Michael Nieren, who is a immigration lawyer with Nieren and Associates here in Toronto. Darren, you're on Newstalk 1010.
Hi, Jim. This angers me. This is someone who's put their life on the line, who's done more for Canada than the average Canadian. He's out there with our military, and we're screwing him around like this? This is wrong. What can we do? This reminds me of in Britain, the Gurkhas. They didn't want to give them benefits, and they fought and died for the empire, and they wanted to screw them over too. It took a huge public outcry to change that. What can we do?
Yeah, well, I think you can write Jason Kenney and say, and we'll put that up on our website. I think we'll do that. We'll most definitely put Jason Kenney's information, phone number, and email address up on the Jim Richards page of Newstalk1010.com, and write them. Write them, write them, write them. We've got guys over there putting their life on the line, and if it wasn't for people like this Afghan citizen who volunteers to be a interpreter, they would probably be in more jeopardy than they already are. So he's saving lives, and there are Canadian soldiers who have written him glowing letters of recommendation saying if this guy was a Canadian soldier, or, yeah, Canadian citizen, he would have medals. And we're willing to kick him to the curb.
We're a nation of immigrants, and these are the people we want. Someone who, before he was even given citizenship, has put his life on the line? I am absolutely disgusted.
Yeah, people should be. People should be disgusted. Michael, what kind of, I mean, the people wrote letters to Jason Kenney. I mean, what is that going to do? You've had to deal with these people.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, often it just goes into a black hole. You know, a lot of my clients who are frustrated write to their MPs, you know, asking for, you know, relief. Why are visas taking so long? Why is my family still stuck overseas? I mean, when the government sets up a program, we expect them to deliver. But often, like a lot of government initiatives, the systemic issues get in the way. And you know, it's not to say I can't say they didn't have good intentions. Maybe it's true, but at the end of the day, there's over 600 applicants in the queue, and over I think under a third have been processed. And you know, like you mentioned, these people are desperate. They're not just waiting to come to Canada for a better life. They're escaping danger, and you know, they're dying in line, you know, literally. So this is critical.
Michael, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Michael Nieren is an immigration lawyer, and Nieren, I'm sorry, I'm great with that. Michael Nieren, immigration lawyer, Nieren and Associates, right here in Toronto. We're going to put the address, if you'd like to give some hell to Jason Kenney and the people at Immigration that were willing to screw over Afghan citizens who are essentially making your sons and daughters who are fighting over in Afghanistan safer. It reminds me of Green Zone, starring Matt Damon. Not the greatest movie, folks, but I actually liked it. I like any war movie, though. The reviews were not great, but it showed Matt Damon as a member of the Canadian... No, he was a Marine, and he was working with Iraqis and getting information and intel, and he was supposed to help them get out, and they left them behind, and they died in the movie. This does not have to be Canadian version of the Green Zone. That's what I'm trying to tell you, people. This does not have to be a Canadian version of the Green Zone. And so go to the News Talk 1010 page, Jim Richards, and write those, I'll say clowns, at immigration for not having a faster process in getting those guys out of Afghanistan and back here to, or at least here to Canada.